Father, it's easy to complain and criticize and grumble, point fingers, backbite, and all those things. But revival needs to start somewhere. And why not here? Why not with me? And so we just come before you as we think about our country, and we pray. We have not lost all your blessings, your favor. You have blessed our country. You have shown favor towards us. And I would pray that we would be able to taste that again someday here. And we just submit ourselves into your hands and ask you to work and to minister to us today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is Memorial Day weekend, and we celebrate freedom, and this day is to remind us, or this weekend is to remind us of those who have given their lives for the freedoms that we have. But you know, this year, actually, Memorial Day falls on the day that it was supposed to always fall on, May 30th, but in 1971, it was passed that we would make it a four-day weekend, and it would be the fourth Monday of the month of May, and a lot of veterans didn't like that because they believed that if we did that, then we would forget what Memorial Day is all about. Wouldn't happen, would it? Watch this video. So, so memorials are easily forgotten, aren't they? Time, pleasure, family, activities. It isn't long and everything's lost. You know, the clicker's not working. There we go. Something we need to remember. This is just a little comic. The guy there on the left, he's saying, you know, history, what's this got to do with me? That was me when I was in school. I couldn't understand history. I didn't like history. I hated history. But the truth of the matter is, as it was well said at one time, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And our country has pretty much lost sight of who we are and what we were and what we were all about, and we've about lost that. The sad thing is, not only is that true for Americans who live in America, it's also true with those of us Christians and a Bible and the Lord and a Creator. We're losing all those things as well. The Bible is filled with memorials. Things that are meant to cause us to stop and pause for a moment and to think about life and who we are and why we're here. I mean, the rainbow is a memorial. The Ten Commandments, something for us to remember. Joshua's stones, we'll look at this in a minute. Sunday. There's not a verse in your Bible that says worship on Sunday. It was the Sabbath. It was always the Sabbath, the seventh day. Why in the world did Christians move to Sunday? It's a memorial. Don't you forget what happened on this first day of the week. Your Lord and your Savior, the Messiah, came to this earth and he died on the cross of Calvary for you. But on that first day, he showed he had power over death. And so in reality, every time we gather together on Sunday, it's a memorial. Don't you forget what happened on this day. Don't you forget. This is why we're here. If he did not raise from the dead, you're wasting your time. Memorials, so important. God thinks they're important. Remember the story in the book of Joshua? Just take your Bibles and go there real quick to Joshua chapter 4. And Moses is dead and gone now. He messed up. God wasn't going to allow him to go into the promised land. He took too much into his own hands and wasn't giving God the praise and the glory and the credit that he really deserved. But God took Moses, and Joshua was leading the people into the promised land. And as they're going across the Jordan, Joshua commands them to do something. In Joshua chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from there. Out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you shall carry them over with you, leave them in a lodging place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed over the children of Israel, one man for every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what are these stones for? What Joshua was saying is, you know, Jordan, this isn't very far from Jerusalem. Jesus was baptized in this river, Jordan. So this is a place that they come often. And they're going to be coming through there. And the children are going to come along and say, hey, Dad, what's this pile of rocks for? And the answer was, you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear your God forever. Can I ask you, what kind of memorial stones are you laying for your children? You know, if we're really honest here, those of us that are the oldest of the old, and we're honest, we examine our lives. Is my devotion, my loyalty, my reverence, my love for God, is it, how close is it to my parents, if I was brought up in a Christian home? And if you find that you have lost a little bit, then I would challenge you to examine the lives of your children. Is theirs as strong as yours was? And then I would challenge you to examine your grandchildren. See what happens? It happens quickly. It's because we forget these memorial stones. We forget that it's more than just going through the motions. It's more than just praying over a meal. It's more than just putting on a suit and going to church. It's more than just listening to a guy in the pulpit. It's more than singing in a praise band. It's more than singing in a choir. It's more than teaching a Sunday school class. It's more than all of that. The importance of memorial stones. Never mind, I won't go there. Yeah, I will. I was holding little Max. And I was thinking, as I was holding little Max there singing those songs, I said, he didn't cover his ears, but I kind of thought he probably wanted to, because his daddy can really sing. And when his daddy went off to boot camp, you know, I wasn't so sure that I was ready to see my son head off to the challenges and the difficulties and the hardships and the exposures that he would run into at boot camp and the temptations that would come his way. But I'll never forget when we came to graduation, he had become known as the singing private. And he sang the national anthem. And, you know, I'm still proud of where he's at in his walk. And he's not perfect, nor was I. But that's what we want, folks. We want to see what we believe to be true, to grip people forever, to pass on from generation to generation. But you know what happened in Joshua's day, don't you? They soon forgot about those stones. We're going to the book of Jeremiah on Sunday mornings. I take a break today, but what's happened to Jeremiah? They all forgot. It just became a routine, a ritual, a religious thing. It was something they did. It didn't affect them. And this morning, we're going to partake in the elements of communion. And again, it's a reminder. Well, go with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. I shouldn't have put my glasses away. Book of Matthew, where the Lord is instituting the Lord's Supper, and he's setting up a memorial here, because if you know, in the Old Testament, there was a time, a feast that was pretty important to them. It started back in Egypt. Remember when they had been slaves to the Egyptians for 400 years, and Moses is going to lead them out of there and free them. And God said, "Now wait a second, before you go, there's something you're going to do tonight. I want you to go get this choice lamb, and you're going to sacrifice this lamb, and you're going to put blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and you're going to consume this thing, you're going to eat this thing, but you're going to eat it with your sandals on, dressed, and ready to roll, because tomorrow morning you're out of here, and I want you never to forget the Passover meal. This is something you remember year after year after year. You never, ever, ever forget the freedom and the liberty that I brought to you when I delivered you from Egypt. Don't ever forget this." So it is a pretty special time. And Jesus is kind of setting the Passover to the side, because he is going to be the Passover lamb. And he's instituting something for us. We don't remember the Passover. We remember something greater than the Passover. We have blood now that is able to wash us white as snow. Back then, the blood of an animal could just cover the sin for the moment. We have something greater. And so Jesus is instituting it in Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. And he said, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, which is shed for many." Verse 28. "For this is my body of the new covenant, which is shed for many, the remission of sins. But I say to you, you will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So he's instituting the communion time that we remember. And he says, "I want you to take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Don't you forget this. Every time you grab that little piece of bread, you hold that in your hand. Feel the nails. Feel the thorns. Feel the fists. The beard being plucked. The spear going into his side. The mockery. The hatred. The animosity. Feel the pain, for he did it for you. So he said, don't forget that. And then the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Don't you ever, ever, ever forget this memorial. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so, I'd like us to think about something. What is my Christianity? Your Christianity, what is it? Heart or head? Heart or head? Big difference. You see, if your Christianity is a heart thing, then your heart's desire is to obey him. What does that look like? Well, it looks like walking out of here and being the man that he's called you to be. It means you walk out of here determined to be the woman he's called you to be. It means that you're determined when you walk out of here that you are going to live a life that brings honor and glory to him. It means when you walk into to work on Tuesday or walk into the school on Tuesday, you are determined that you're going to bring him glory, that your light is going to shine, that you are going to be the salt of the earth and impact the culture in which you live. That means when you leave here, you're going to be the husband that God has called you to be. You're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You're going to be the wife that God's called you to be. You're going to be the parent that God called you to be. You're going to be the child that God called you to be. If it's a heart thing, it changes us. But if it's a head thing, we just acknowledge this to be true. Preach it, brother. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Holler. Oh, give it to him. Give it to him. And then we walk out those doors and we live our lives. And we don't care what I say, what I do, how I act, how I respond, my testimony, my work ethic, my vocabulary. And so I just ask us this morning, this Christianity thing that I say that I have, and I hope that you say that you have, head or heart, what is it? You see, true Christianity is hearing and doing. And James tells us not to be hearers only, but to be doers. There's a world out there, and they know us. There's people out there that know you, related to you, live next to you, work with you, go to school with you. They know you. What do they see in me? It makes a big difference. And this is what we find ourselves. Teetering all the time. I want to be obedient. I want to be the man that God has called me to be, but the sacrifice, I don't want to be walked on. I don't want people taking advantage of me. Well, think about Christ. Those disciples were so proud they wouldn't wash feet, but he did. He said, learn from me. He laid his life down for you. He wasn't guilty of one sin. He made great sacrifice. And so here we are. We're on this teeter-totter, and we battle this day in and day out. Don't tell me you don't, because it's a lifelong battle for every one of us. There's not one of us here that's got this thing whipped. But every day we're teetering, and we're making decisions every day, heart or head. Do I live it or not? Does my light shine, or do I hide it under a bushel? Do I let the world know, or do I let them go to hell without telling them? We teeter continually. You know, many, they say, will miss heaven by 18 inches. Not only do I think many will miss heaven by 18 inches, but I think there are many who make it to heaven but miss the rewards by 18 inches. We've got it here. Oh, we've got the answers. But we don't have it here. And so we got to be individuals who are taking this stuff serious and allowing God to change us and to make us into the men and the women, the husbands, the wives, the employers, the employees, to where we shine for Him. And it's the longest 18 inches you'll ever struggle with. It's to getting it from here to here. So that when you open this trap, that smile of yours hides that wicked snake. So that when you speak, you glorify Him. You honor Him. And the way we treat each other, you know, not only is our country in a mess, church is in a mess. How do we get here? We get here by not taking things serious. We don't know the meaning of Memorial Day. It doesn't mean a thing to us. Why not? We've just forgotten what it's taken to get us here. The church is falling apart all over this world, especially in America and Europe. How do we get here? We forget. We forget. This is what needs to happen in my life. It needs to happen in your life. Where the heart wins. Where the heart wins. Remember the memorial stones in Joshua's day? And Joshua, like Moses, also has a lifespan. Just like we have a lifespan. And towards the end of Joshua's ministry, as he's dealing with the people and he's warning them and wanting them never to forget, never to forget, he made that great statement, a statement that you and I need to come to as well, when he said to the people that they needed to choose this day whom they would serve. But then he was able to say, I don't care who you serve. You can walk out those doors and you can serve whoever you want, but one thing I want you to know, I'm going to do my very best. And that's what we should do. All too often, we let others affect me. But when I stand before Him, I can't give an account for the others. And if I'm the only one standing, that's what I want to do. It's like that soldier who wrote on the flyleaf, if no one else even fights, in a sense, I will do this all by myself. When we walk out those doors this morning, there's a world out there that needs to know that Jesus Christ is far more than just a Sunday morning worship service. He is Lord. He's my Savior. He died for me that I could live. And then we walk out that door, every one of us should be saying, if nobody else in this building desires to serve and honor and to glorify Him, I will. And I just ask you this. Can you imagine? It's hard to imagine, but can you imagine what Central Chapel could be? What Central Chapel could be if every one of us had that commitment? Can you imagine what we could accomplish? Do you imagine? Can you imagine how bright a light would shine if everybody out there who knows us knew this? We take this stuff serious. We don't forget. I'd like us all just to spend some time in prayer, talking to God and preparing ourselves for communion and making sure that our hearts are right. And so, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, no one looking around, I want you as a believer, I want you to be asking yourself the question, head or heart, what is it? This thing that you call Christianity, this thing that you say that you have, this relationship that you say that you have with Christ, head or heart? What is it? It's got to be the heart. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Christ. Maybe you're wondering about all this stuff. Well, God's wanting a heart relationship with you. He loved you so much that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He died in your place, that your sins could be forgiven. But it's got to move from the head knowledge to the heart knowledge. It has to come to the point in your life where you recognize that you are unworthy of His love and His grace, but you want it. You want to be forgiven. And you just cry out to Him, say, God, forgive me. Please forgive me. I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I am sorry, and I want forgiveness, and I know that Christ is my only hope. And you do that, and you become His child. That's just how great His grace is. Talk to Him. And the Bible tells us that before we partake in the elements, we're to examine ourselves and make sure that our life is what it should be. We confess that sin in our lives, those things that we're battling with, those areas in our life that we know don't bring Him honor and glory, glorify Him. We just ask Him right here, just say, God, I'm still struggling. It'll be a lifelong struggle, but I want victory. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. Forgive me. Thank you for your patience. But help me to be the man that you want me to be. Help me to be the woman you want me to be. So let's just take a few moments and just talk to Him. Prepare our hearts for the elements of communion that we can partake in a way that brings Him honor and glory. Father, as we spend a few moments in quietness, as we examine our hearts and our lives and we see the sin that's there, we realize we need you. We have failed you oftentimes on a daily basis. Our mouths say things that shouldn't be said. Our minds think things that they shouldn't think. We respond to people in ways that are not glorifying to you and not edifying to others. And we need your forgiveness. Help us to remember. And for those here this morning that may have not known Christ when they walked through the door, I pray that they know Him now. They've cried out to you and asked you to forgive them and recognize that Christ is our only hope, and they've put their faith and trust in Him. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has any questions about what we've covered and would like to talk with me later, I would be glad to talk with them. And we're going to partake in the elements, and we thank you that you are a God that even though we walked in these doors unworthy, that you've promised that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we can partake with clean hands, not because of what we've done, but because of who you are and what you're willing to do for each of us. And so I pray that we have done that we have come before you, we have confessed, and we ask that you would be honored and glorified this morning as we remember the sacrifice that you made for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.